everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together. And as always, we're just so glad you've joined us.
And it is the weekend again already.
Yay!
We always talk about how fast the week goes. You know, we are thick into the holiday season, and how are you doing, by the way?
You know, I don't really get real stressed about the season. I really don't. I love all the things that are involved in Christmas, between Christmas and Thanksgiving. So I know there's a lot of work. You have to buy presents. You have to do a lot of things, but it really is fun for me instead of stress. What about you?
I don't like the commercialized part of the holidays, right. So I don't let that get to me. You know, just let's celebrate family, not Black Friday. There are many things that can steal our joy and make the holidays go from merry to unmarry.
So let's talk about how to prevent that, because we want our listeners to have a Merry Christmas. We don't want them to have a unmarried Christmas.
Right.
And, you know, we might have a few of those bah humbug moments. It is supposed to be the celebration of Christ's birth, and that's a great reason to be merry, right? So we need to have our Christmas stay positive. But there is a lot of festive stress around the holidays, and that's what we need to be aware of, and we need to have strategies to take care of ourselves.
Was it Bing Crosby that said it's the most wonderful time of the year?
It's the most. It's a song.
Right.
Did he sing that song? I don't know if he sang it. Somebody sang
it. One of them, yeah.
It's a good song.
Right. But things happen during this time of year to make it not so wonderful, and it steals our joy. All that good cheer, relaxation, the celebration of Christ's birth that's supposed to be our focus can get lost due to a number of things that we are going to talk about today.
Yeah, so we're going to start with one that really surprised me. I mean, I had no idea about this. I was sort of looking through a bunch of articles and, you know, kind of surfing the net, and I found this study that said Christmas can literally give you a heart attack.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so the article was called The Merry Christmas Coronary. So it was like this phenomena that they're talking about, which is actually based on data. So what happened is the researchers looked at rates of death from ischemic heart disease in the Los Angeles area. And they saw that during the months of November, December, and January, it peaked at New Year's Day. They saw a number of coronaries and heart attacks among people. So they decided, okay, I wonder if this is kind of the same all over the country. They looked at the emotional stress, though, of the holidays and the overindulgence that people tend to have during this part of the season. And so they widened the study, Chris, and they looked at it for the whole United States, and they saw two peak times for heart attacks. One was Christmas and the other was New Year's Day.
How horrible.
I know. So I don't really think about Christmas and think about heart attacks, do you?
No.
Of course, we don't work in a hospital or an ER either, so.
Well, maybe the heart attacks have something to do with all of the terrible food that we eat throughout the holidays, because there's certainly lots of junk food and sweets, and it seems like everyone, without fail, brings cookies, candy, and snacks for the entire month.
You know, I don't think it stops from Halloween on, because we have chocolate left over from Halloween, and then Thanksgiving people bring in treats, and then all the month of December, there are a lot of treats coming by your office and places in your workplace.
Yeah.
But so they did actually note that in the study. They did say that friends tend to bring food gifts, people tend to gain weight during the holidays, and they consume more salt, which can stress an already weakened heart. So that is a factor in that. And the meals tend to be more fatty, and of course, there's way more alcohol consumption.
Right.
So between the fatty foods, the salt increase, and the excess of alcohol, they think those are some of the factors that have to do with having a Merry Christmas coronary.
Well, you know, and it wasn't until we started putting the show together that this made sense. They noticed a delay in people seeking medical attention, because who wants to go to the ER when you're having all this fun?
Yeah, so maybe people are saying, oh, I'm okay. They're sort of delaying going there to the hospital, and then that could be fatal if you don't go in time, right? Another factor that we don't always think about is that people in healthcare take off. You know, they don't want to work during the holidays any more than we do.
Right.
Right? So you have a few more strangers who are taking care of you who really don't know your history or don't know you as well. And during the holidays, what happens in hospitals, they tend to decrease the staff a little bit, too. So there aren't as many people working as there would be maybe during the non-holiday time. So the bottom line of that is you really don't want to get sick during the holidays, because you might not be cared for as well. Now, I know I'm not saying that the people who are there aren't caring for you well, but there is a difference in the number of staff and then the familiarity that people have with you.
And, you know, I hadn't thought of this one either, but lots of the wood burning in the air, it can release toxic material and increase your blood pressure. chances for the flu and upper respiratory infections.
We know this is flu season. We always know that when once the weather turns and the flu season starts, that that's an issue. And that is one of the ways that if you have a weakened heart and you get an infection, it's obviously going to affect your heart. And that may be one of the reasons why there are more heart attacks there. But I am one of those people who's very affected by wood-burning fireplaces. Do you have a real one?
No, we don't. Our previous house did, and we never used it because of that, just the smell and everything.
Well, we had one in one of our houses in the Virginia Beach area, and it was the same thing. We'd put it on, and while it was very romantic and the idea of it, I would find myself coughing and wheezing and doing all kinds of stuff. So not a good thing. One of the other things, Chris, though, is colder weather can lead to what's called vascular constriction or resistance. Mm-hmm. So coronary spasms and other problems due to the overexertion of people. So think about it. In the colder climates where people are shoveling snow and they're having to exert more energy just to move around and get around in that cold weather, that can be a factor in a heart attack.
And not to mention the decreased hours of daylight. Christmas in the Northern Hemisphere happens when the days are shorter and the weather is generally poor. There's a lot of data that suggests that reduced daylight has a negative effect on our mood.
Yeah, and that could not be so good for our bodies and our brains as well. So one other thing is that most people complain about, okay, maybe you don't, but Christmas songs, because they're just too many of them. There's too much coverage of the Christmas songs. So here's an interesting fact. Familiar songs can often be perceived more positively than negatively, right? So we do like them, but some argue this is only true up to a point, after which sometimes it becomes really annoying and unpleasant, and it leads to more stress, and then people get more stressed up, and then they're, you know, the more stress we have, the worse it is for predicting a heart attack or something bad.
Who would have thought that walking into the mall and hearing a good Christmas song would create so many problems?
While you're buying those fatty foods that you shouldn't be eating as well.
Well, we're just getting started here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show, talking about festive stress that can move you from merry to unmerry. We'll talk about that more after the break.
Hey, I know it's hard to believe, but the holiday season is just around the corner. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor. And can I just say that some relationships can be really stressed during the holiday season? You know, it's not too early to think and pray about what you want the holidays to look like this year. Here are a few quick points to ponder. Set a budget. You do yourself a great service when you decide in advance how much you'll spend and how. Discuss your plans with friends and family. If you wait too long, you may find yourself overcommitted or someone's feelings are hurt because you don't show up where you're expected. Talking about it now takes away a lot of the tension that can come up later. And focus on why we celebrate. Try being thankful for the whole month of November and begin now to acknowledge the significance of Jesus' birth in your life. You don't want to wait until December 25th to celebrate Him. With a little planning and a lot of prayer, you can enjoy the holidays instead of stressing through the season.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And if you're listening to today's program and you're thinking, I could use some stress coaching, not just during the holidays, but throughout the entire year, then I encourage you to get Dr. Linda's book, Breaking Free from Stress. It's a pocket size and it's easy to read, but packed with practical ways to reduce stress. You can find the link on her website, drlindamental.com, and sign up for her free e-newsletter and get her blogs. And you can always follow her on social media at Dr. Linda Mental. And Dr. Linda, this book has been quite popular.
I think because it's so short. It's not going to be like a novel.
Right.
It's going to be really quick, really easy, packed with all kinds of practical tips.
What about pictures? Does it have pictures?
Well, I don't have pictures in there for you, Chris, but I think you even would find it very easy to read.
See, I like the picture books.
I know.
I think it's because I have so many kids.
I know, right?
So we're used to that.
And we don't have pop-ups either or anything fun like that in the book either.
But the next book needs to have pop-ups.
Version.
That's right. Well, in the first part of today's program, we learned about winter holidays and how they can trigger heart attacks and more if you have coronary heart disease. But there was another factor that the study you looked at talked about, and that was emotional stress around the holidays. Let's talk about that.
So emotional stress is really the big thing for most people, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things. I guess there's so many activities in addition to all the things that you have to do to prepare for this that it's very easy to feel overwhelmed.
Right.
And so the idea here is that some of that festive stress is self-imposed.
Mm-hmm.
And other stress has to do with families getting together, expectations, and a whole lot of other things. So maybe let's break a few of those down.
Well, let's start with stress at work. Just because it's Christmas doesn't mean the regular demands of a job or the tasks at home go away. In fact, the demands increase.
You know, I don't really think we always think about that because one of the things that I'm aware of is that I'm going to take a break at Christmas.
Right.
And that means I have to work like double almost in my job to get things ready to go because you've got those couple of weeks where you're not in the office and you don't want to come back in January and go, oh, I got a mountain full of things that I've got to do. Do you ever find that at work?
Well, you get into vacation mode, so you automatically think that things just sort of stop.
And they don't.
But, you know, they don't at all.
Yeah. And then the same thing. You still have to maintain your house and your routine and all the things that you have to do. And now you've got this extra layer on top of it. So there is a lot more to do. There's the decorating. There's the preparing special foods. There's the gift buying and the projects that have to get done. And all of this usually requires a lot of money on top of everything else. So it really does help to have a schedule and to be organized to get it all done so you don't get overwhelmed. So it helps to have a schedule. And it helps to be organized to get it all done so you don't. I have this secret closet where I stash things, although I've said this a few times on the show, so I bet it's not secret anymore.
True.
I keep saying
point.
It's a secret closet.
Right.
My kids can hear this anytime I say that, right? But I put gifts in there all year long.
Mm-hmm.
So when you open up the closet, there's a big box and it has a whole bunch of stuff in it. And one of the reasons I do that, Chris, is so that at the end of the year, when I have to start buying gifts, I don't feel so pressured.
Right.
And I don't feel like I have to get so much of it done because I've been doing it all year long.
That's where my Christmas gift is, right? In that closet, in the box. Yeah.
I don't know if I've exactly found the right thing for you yet.
Oh, okay. Well, keep
that
looking.
That is a year-long process, looking for the right thing.
Well, these entertainment and decorating costs that we're talking about causes financial stress as well. The holidays are expensive, and we're putting money out there that we don't normally spend during the year. So I'm guessing a budget for the holidays would help.
Do you do a budget for the holidays? Is that something you guys do?
It is imposed on me by Sharon.
Well, good for Sharon.
Yes.
She's the organized one.
She is.
She and the family.
Definitely.
So
right.
You really do have to talk about what you're going to do with all of that because otherwise the spending can get out of control.
Right.
I think that's really important. But I think the other thing, not related so much to financial, although it does relate because if you're buying a whole lot of stuff to make your house look like a magazine,
right.
You're going to be spending a lot of money on decorations. And today, I think with Pinterest, I don't know if you look at it. Do you look at Pinterest much? Do you go to that site?
It gives you lots of ideas.
It does. Yep. And I'm wondering, does your wife use that?
She does. Yes.
Yeah. So you can look at all this stuff and you think, well, these people on Pinterest are like wildly talented, these ideas that people come up with. But if you look at that and you think about it, then you're also looking at everybody's Christmas efforts.
Right.
And it reminds me of the scene in The Grinch. Remember Martha May?
Mm-hmm.
And she's got this fabulous decorating thing going on and she's shooting the lights all over the house.
Oh, yeah.
And the neighbor is like, I gotta have those lights. And she's going crazy and she's getting all stressed because she's gotta find the lights for the house.
Right.
I think sometimes we can feel that same way that when we look at Pinterest and we look at all the decorating tips that are offered and we look at everybody else's house, we might think, oh man, I have to do exactly or I have to have just as much as everybody else is doing. And that can put a lot of stress on you and it really can steal your joy.
We've talked about the pressure of social media on this program before and how you see everyone's wonderful ideas makes you feel like you should have to do the same thing.
Yeah, so I think it adds stress in the holidays. I think those sites too, Pinterest, not
right.
picking on Pinterest because I love Pinterest, but I think the more you can see what the possibilities are, the more you think, maybe I have to do all those.
Right. Well, let's talk about the big holiday stressor here on the program. It's dealing with family. It's time for families to get together, whether you want to or not.
Right. So family involvement can really be one of the things that overwhelms you, and it can be a cause of stress. We all know that. The obvious example of this is with the political or the cultural clashes that we're seeing at such, I think, a new increase, don't you? Don't you think the politics has gotten even more awful?
I think so. Again, social media feeds that.
Yeah, it does. And we've become more divided in our country, which results in this tense atmosphere at the dinner table, or we have arguments over politics and the way the country is going. And I think, Chris, it's become more contentious for a lot of people. I don't know. Is that a problem that you've seen at your house, or do you find that when you get together with your relatives?
We tend to not discuss these things when we get together.
Really?
Yeah, because of that.
Oh, it always comes up in my family, and it gets really bad. I have one, I maybe shouldn't say which relative it is, but huge Bernie Sanders support. And then I've got, you know, other ones that are for Trump. And then I've got other ones who want other candidates. And boy, those conversations can get very intense.
We save it for Facebook.
You do?
It's really bizarre how the family will create these arguments on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
But then when we get together, we just laugh about it and say, hey, having lots of fun on Facebook lately, aren't we? And then we just sort of let it go.
That could be a little bit more civil. Right. I just think this is the time that we're going to have to practice this in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's stressful for a lot of people to interact with their relatives because a lot of times you don't want to be with certain people in your family, but they are your family.
Right.
And you do need to find a way to be there and be with them. And then there's always the financial pressure involved with buying them a gift or even to decide who to buy for. I don't know what mm-hmm. you do in your family, but this can get really expensive when you have a lot of people that you have to get gifts for.
Well, we do have a large group, but there has been a cap put on the cost of the gifts.
That's a good idea. Yeah. We drew names one year and decided we'd only buy for a few people, and that way we could get nicer gifts
right. If
we didn't have so many. And I think another one that really puts the financial pressure on is the traveling expenses of getting to families. And in some places, you have to get a hotel or you have to stay somewhere else, and you're paying for food when you're eating out. I mean, for years, we traveled to Maine. But we have to stay in a hotel because my in-laws are in an independent living kind of apartment places, and they don't have any place for us to stay because they're in very small quarters. So by the time you travel, by the time you find a hotel, then by the time you pay for food, it can get very expensive.
Not everyone has a large house.
Right.
So let's talk about that. The close quarters issue can be a problem during the holidays.
Yeah, because you really don't have privacy.
Right.
So you're finding yourself kind of going over to a corner and trying to talk about things that are upsetting you. That lack of privacy is a known stressor for the holidays because there's a loss of control that you feel when everyone is sort of in your face and they're giving their ideas, even when they're doing that with really good intentions.
True.
So that loss of control that we feel sometimes by being in someone else's space, by trying to do things according to their rules, that kind of thing. That's another potent stressor. It's a stress that if we don't talk about, we're going to have some problems. I know a lot of people listening have elderly parents, and they don't always know what to do with parents, especially parents who have Alzheimer's, and bringing them over to the house for the holidays. And one of the things that happens, Chris, is when you bring an Alzheimer's patient or someone with dementia into a house that isn't familiar to them, it really does raise the stress because then they get really worked up. They're really out of their element. So it's really hard for them to handle it. And that's just another one of those things that we don't think about that could really add to the stress.
There's a key to helping that person who is dealing with dementia.
Yeah, so I think the thing to do is really limit the time. A lot of families will take their Christmas celebration to the place where the Alzheimer's patient is because they seem to just do better without the change in environment. So that might be another way to do it too, because if they are struggling with a neurocognitive disorder, they're really not going to be remembering where they were, although sometimes the familiarity of Christmas decorations can bring back, can maybe be a cue for memory as well.
A lot of things transpire throughout the year, and then we get together as a family, and someone may have experienced an estrangement or a loss or a death in the family. How do we deal with that?
Boy, that could be an entire show because we're having people that are dealing with divorce, death, like you said, or a family member who's maybe addicted and is just not going to show up. And these are really hard things to deal with in the holiday, especially if it's the very first one, the very first holiday after the loss has occurred, no matter what the loss is. And all of the context of being in your home with the decorations and everything can constantly be triggering those memories. And so I think just be aware of it. You have to prepare yourself for this mentally and spiritually. Not be afraid to acknowledge the loss and talk about it with family members. And even have moments of grieving in the middle of all of this. It's worse if you don't acknowledge it and if you don't have some kind of a family ritual to really remember that person or talk about that person and begin to work on creating a new normal.
We need to take a short break, but there's more to talk about as we discuss solutions for your festive stress, ways to keep the holidays from going from merry to unmerry. We'll be right back.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder, what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever.
winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mento offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
To take the conflict style quiz, click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and don't forget to check out Dr. Linda's blogs, social media, and books at her website, drlindamental.com. Today we're talking about festive stress, and Dr. Linda has a pocket-sized, easy-to-read book, Breaking Free from Stress, that will help you manage the holidays and other stressful times of the year. We talked earlier in the program about how it's pretty easy to read.
It is. It's a quick book.
You know, Dr. Linda, given how stressful the holidays can be, it's no wonder people resort to stress coping things like eating too much or maybe even alcohol. 'Tis the season after all.
Yeah, I know. So there's a lot of emphasis on food and drinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's true that high-calorie foods can reduce your feelings of stress.
Right.
So for the moment, Chris, they do calm you down for a moment. It's like when you eat ice cream, it does calm your central nervous system, but it does bad things in your body and it doesn't make you feel better later. Same is true for alcohol. So both of those are really short-term fixes for stress and they don't work well on the long haul. Our bodies seem to actually store more fat when we're stressed. Did you know that?
No, really?
Yeah. So this is one of the reasons why you will lose weight better if you keep your stress down, because when you're very stressed and the cortisol levels stay high in your body, the body thinks that there's a problem and it stores fat. And then alcohol consumption can quickly cross the line from, you know, being pleasant to unpleasant in certain families. We probably have all had some of those experiences. But it leaves us feeling bloated, hungover, miserable, with a worse state of overall health than when we started. So if you look at all of this, coping with food and alcohol is just not a good idea.
You're saying that we can use food and alcohol to medicate our stress during the holidays, which is, in the long term, it's going to hurt our health.
It is. So excessive stress, you know, it will make you have more of an appetite. And it will make you crave foods that are sugary and fat. You might then use it in that way to medicate without even really thinking about it. And then all the excessive drinking that we're talking about can really exacerbate stress, particularly because it raises the stress levels in the body again, and it causes problems for the people around you. So, again, we just don't want to resort to these negative ways of dealing with stress. And I know they're right there. They're available. They're abundant. You've got all that food and cookies and sugar and alcohol. In some families, it's right available on the counters, and people just when they're feeling upset with a family member or they don't like the way things are going, maybe they're going to reach for one of those. Another problem is that when people are drinking a lot in a family, they do things they wouldn't do when they were sober. And so that does cause a lot of problems. So we need to be responsible during this time, monitor our actions, maybe have a talk with your family about monitoring theirs and either not having alcohol present, or if it's a family who just insists on that, making sure that people are being responsible with what they do. Here's a tip that I want to bring up, though, Chris. I've never seen this, and I was looking at some ways to kind of help with food, and I found something that was really surprising. Here's a tip that you can do. Smell some lemons.
Smell some lemons.
Do you know why?
I have no clue.
So this was researched at the Ohio State University, and they said lemon scents instantly boost your mood. So
wow.
I guess if I see people walking around the house with lemons by their nose, I'll know that they need a mood boost.
Maybe you should dust the house first with lemon-scented Pledge.
There you go.
You know, that type of thing.
That would help.
Well, I do want to go back to something that we touched on earlier. How important is it to set aside family differences?
Yeah, I think this is really key to making the holidays work. You know what your family's like, right? You know what the issues are going to be.
Right.
You know what's been unresolved for most of the year. So I think it's important to set some of those things aside during the holiday time and to really focus on the positives of your family and try to make some meaningful, celebrative kind of memories rather than using this as the time, okay, now everybody's here. Now we're going to talk about all our grievances and we're going to get at all the problems. I think we can do that at another time of the year.
We touched on this earlier, but if we control finances during this time of year, it can help reduce some stress.
There was a survey that said that 62% of us feel stressed about money during the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a lot. That's over half.
You know, a few people I've talked to about this time of year, they take the pressure off of gift buying by donating charity in someone's name or making homemade gifts.
I like both of those ideas. The homemade gifts will help you stay in the budget. And then maybe a family gift exchange would be easier if you could donate to someone's name. The main point is to try it. But I don't think a lot of people like it, to be honest with you. I've done it. You know, you get a little card and it says, I'm donating this in your name.
Right.
It's a really great thing to do, but I'm not sure people – would you like that?
Maybe not.
Yeah, I'm not sure people like it, but I do like the idea.
But a handcrafted gift, sure,
there,
why not?
There you go, or something homemade would
right.
be good,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
You know, one of the hardest things, and I don't even want to talk about this right now, is exercise during the holidays.
Well, long nights, lack of sleep, guess what? That makes people irritable.
Right.
So, and then you're eating all that bad food. So exercise really is a good way to get out and to get your body moving. It could be just taking a walk.
Right.
It could be if you're in a, you know, in an area where you've got snow, which a lot of our listeners are, you could do some really fun stuff outside, ice skating, skiing, going on cross-country walks. That's really fun and good.
Well, Dr. Linda, as we near the end of the program today, we obviously need to keep the meaning of Christmas front and center. It's hard to feel stress when you think about this is the birth of Christ we're talking about.
This holiday season, for all of us who are listening to this, maybe we can spend some time reflecting on what matters most. We can give to others as a response to God's giving his son to us. We can give of our time, our talent, and even our money to help others. If we do those things, Chris, we're going to lift our spirit and we're going to keep Jesus the center of the season. You control what your focus will be. Nobody else is telling you to focus on all that other stuff that brings stress to our lives. You can respond to the stress by getting yourself centered on Christ. That's going to be a big help. So don't allow this season to go from merry to unmerry, as the true meaning of this time should cause us all to rejoice. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our social media director and producer, Norm Mintel, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.